Okay, it's 6:30. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Today is December 9th. This is the Municipal Budget Committee, and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, just so everybody knows, we have to approve our minutes from the last meeting, and then we will have the public hearing on the budget. When you speak, please say your name clearly, because we want to put that in the minutes, and we don't know all of you. So say your name, say what you have to say. We'll listen to all the comments, and then I will close the public hearing, and we will go over the school budget and probably take a vote tonight. Okay, got it? All right, so first thing we're going to do is the minutes from the last meeting. Are there any changes or corrections to those minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Bill Sappy made the motion. Is there a second?
I'll second. Steve Tremblay.
Steve seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Ryan's here.
Ryan's on.
Hey, Ryan.
Oh, Ryan's up there. Okay. I don't see anybody else on Zoom, but if any of you notice somebody on Zoom, just let me know, because I sometimes forget to look up here. Okay, so I'll open the public hearing. I don't know how much information you have about the budget. Do you have extra copies?
The extra copies are over
of the budget are over there. I'm open to any questions you have about the budget or about our previous votes.
Or even comment.
Yes.
Carol Bethfelder, 531 Raymond Road. I attended this meeting last year, and I had asked a question to the board how much time you had spent involved at the school, at any events, meeting with staff, children, seeing how school operations happen. I was met with a lot of silence, and I was hoping that when I asked this question this year, you'll have a response that you have spent time seeing the day-to-day at the school, seeing the building, just where our children are every day. Because to us as parents in this town, that's a big deal to us when someone is voting on something that is going to affect the lives and futures of our children and people who are living here. So I'm going to ask that question again, and I really need a different answer this year.
Is that question to us as the board?
Yes.
And so your question is, how much time have we spent at the school?
Yeah, I would like the budget, if it's going to be cut, to be an informed decision fully and not just based off of numbers. So I was just curious if anyone had really spent much time since last year there getting to know the school.
Anyone have a comment? Or?
I have.
Stephanie, would you like to? But did you just say that?
I said I have.
Okay, but that was Stephanie.
Yes. Stephanie, sorry. Stephanie Hellman.
Yeah, my name is Steve Tremblay. I have a child who attends the school. I don't know how much time I've spent there, but, you know, my kid's there every day. So I have a general understanding of what happens at the school. And as the budget committee, I think we have a dual responsibility. I live in town.
Yeah.
I pay taxes in the town. And we want to just make sure that when people ask for a certain raise or a certain increase, we have to understand that people live in the town, hopefully they can afford it, right? So we want people to move. We want our school to do well. It's a highly rated school. So it's kind of a yin and yang there. You have to be cognizant of both of those things. So when we're elected as the budget committee, that's our job, is to make sure the money is being spent wisely and accurately and accounted for.
And I can understand that, and I appreciate that you've been around the school. So it's more for anyone else that has harsh comments, I guess, I've seen online and last year as well, as far as the default budget is concerned. So I would appreciate if there were more people that were well-informed, you know, well-rounded, informed decision. So.
That's a good question.
Any other?
Just a little. I forgot. It's an article that we were in the newspaper.
Any other comments or questions? Yes.
Jason Gustin, 161 Crowley Road. I think reducing the school budget below the default is a poor choice. The raises are contractual, built into the default, and something like that. So the only option beyond cutting, the only option really is to lose teachers, combine classrooms, and to handicap our school further than it already is. We have the middle of the year, from last year or the year before, I believe that. We were 18th in the state as far as rankings and everything like that. So take away any more than what our school is already operating with is a poor choice.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm late.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Hi, Tara Walker. I'm 201 Main Street, Acadia. One thing I've noticed that can lower property values really, really quickly is if the schools are poor. Now, I don't see the value in reducing the school budget by that much money. $400,000 seems excessive to me. It's going to impact my personal property values. It's going to impact my school's, my kids' future. And I'm not okay with that. You know, the schools add so much value, not only to the town, but also to our families. And, you know, the idea that we would suddenly decide to randomly cut $400,000 without a justification, to Carol's point, that these are surgical cuts as opposed to just a blanket removal of budget, seems not very intelligent to me. And that's just my opinion. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We don't respond to these right now.
No, this okay. Isn't.
Or if they have questions, we can answer.
If they have questions, yeah, we okay. Can. We can answer, but. Anyone else have a?
Hi, yes, I'm Stephanie. I'm from 246 Brown Road.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Stephanie Tuvey, 246 okay. Brown Road is where I live.
Thanks.
I guess my question is, to the $400,000, where is that supposed to be cut from? Did anybody say yet what that was for? Why was that proposed, and what would it be taken from? Or is it truly just overall? Why would we think that's a good idea when the contracts are coming up next year for teachers? Why would we do that to our kids who have worked their butts off, and the teachers and the staff and everyone, to have us be recognized in the state for how great our school was? That's kind of my question. Is that a blanket thing, or was this that's my question, I guess.
Well,
do we have thoughts of where it would come from?
The last meeting, it's $489,000.
Wow, that's way worse, actually. Okay, so...
the last meeting, it was suggested that we charge some parents for high school busing based off of the ridership that we have. Like, when my kids went, it was $75 a semester. So if you base it off of that, and the ridership that we have answering one of our questions is about $10,000. That was a suggestion.
I guess my question.
That was one of the suggestions.
Well,
that was
giving. Accounts for $489,000.
No. I'm saying some of the suggestions that we got at the last meeting from the budget committee on where we could reduce funds. That was one of the ideas.
So that's one idea. But that wouldn't count for the total $489,000.
It would bring it down to $479,000 that we would need to.
Why would we? So I guess my question is, what was the purpose of cutting it in the first place? Is what I think most parents want to know.
Yeah.
Is that what was? I know you don't, but for the members
that
really thought this was a great idea, especially you, because you know you said that your child goes. I would love to hear. Other than what about the town and the fairness for all of us? We all pay taxes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our kids deserve the same chance that the kids before them had. Our future children, the future children of this town, you know, a town does need children and incoming families to survive. That's how towns flourish and continue on in the future. So I guess my whole point is, why are we going to punish them? We just got recognized in this, I mean, I had family from California calling me being like, your kid's school is in this paper. It's like considered like the best school of New Hampshire. Why are we now, after learning all that, being like, you know what, I think we're just going to cut it and not factor in raises or anything like that.
I'll go first. I think there's a misperception. So the budget request was an increase of 7.4%. So from 11.1 to 11.9.
The budget committee cut 489,000 from the default, not any request.
All right, so that's 6.3%.
Yes.
So there was a motion or a conversation to say the town has town budget has grown by 2.7% is where we're trying to keep that. And so we're trying to be in line with that. So you could say cutting it, but it's still increasing the budget over last year, just by not as much. So we're not saying, hey, let's reduce it 400,000 or 489 from last year.
But to the point that like Carol and others have made, what was the, so we're doing this on numbers only. You're telling me numbers and everything. I'm talking about realism, like with schools, students, how every day-to-day life with our school, our teachers, and to retain them. I'm talking about how we keep them, because a teacher, as lovely as they are, they're not going to care if we come back to them and say, we'd love to give you like the raise you deserve, but we can't because our budget committee doesn't think it's worth it for you guys after we factored in the numbers. Does that make sense? Like, I guess that's what I'm worried about over above all else, is I just want to make sure we are following, like, your child goes there, yes. No one on the board answered Carol's questions, and that scares me, because your opinion is we might disagree, right? But I can at least respect it. I'm concerned to hear that no one else had an answer to that. Nobody's gone in the school. I mean, have we... I honestly care more about like people that are there every day to day, teacher, staff, what their opinions are, what Becky, who's here today, Becky Wing's opinion is on this. I care more about someone who's at that school every single day and their opinion than I do about people that won't even answer Carol's question other than you, because they haven't gone to check it out. That bothers me.
Okay. So
I'm sorry. I think there is a misunderstanding. First of all, the teacher's contract is not in this budget. The teacher's contract will be a warrant article. It'll be separate. I personally think that the teachers are the most important thing in the room. I don't think you need a bunch of consumable workbooks and this and that. I think the teacher's the most important thing. That will be a separate warrant article. So keep that in mind. It's not...
Keeping that in mind, when teachers say they need certain supplies, are you talking about supplies and
curriculum.
Everything? Is that what you're, or could you expand on it?
Right. I think what she's talking about the teacher's salaries.
No,
right.
I know
the
she's
teacher's
saying
contract.
That's
a whole separate warrant article.
Right, but when she was mentioning what she says is not as important was, I didn't quite catch that.
Consumables, yeah.
Well, so just for an example here, regular ed health insurance was up $116,000. High school tuition was up $255,000. These are the things that you have to look at as a community of like, what are the increases? What do these really mean? Well, we can't not educate our high school kids. We can't not supply health insurance. We can't not get math practice books, things like that. Like, you have to kind of look at like food services has increased $15,000. Well, we know the price of food has gone
up
crazy. We have a $110,000 increase in special ed. Those are the things that are adding up to the increase in the default.
But and they help our students, though. So
well, yeah.
My whole point is, what was the whole... When you say, like, consumables, textbooks and stuff, so the teachers are important, but the supplies... The teachers are important. Wasn't trying to twist what you said. The teachers are important, but the supplies they're saying they need are not? Is that what the bottom line is?
There are options. I don't think all of them are always explored. But the teachers, to me, in my opinion, are... the most important thing in that classroom.
Okay. I have another question.
There was actually another board member who wanted to respond.
Yeah, there's somebody on the Zoom. Ryan, go ahead.
Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Excellent. So there's just to respond to the two questions that have been asked. The first question, I personally have not spent any time in the school. And as far as the second question goes, I don't speak for the board. I speak for me personally, why I voted the way I did. In my mind, it's to approve a budget that essentially doubles, more than doubles everyone's taxes in 11 years. I personally can't support that. I don't disagree that, you know, this is a difficult, you know, where do you cut it? And I know that, you know, there's a thought out there that we should recommend exactly where those cuts should happen. And I understand that thought. But as far as my standpoint is, for some of the people in town on fixed incomes especially, I just don't see the current trajectory of that, you know, 10-year mark. Your taxes are all going to double, that being feasible for everyone in town. I know that doesn't make it easier. I know that, you know, people have pointed out, where do you cut? You know, these are all good points, but specifically to answer your question, that's why I voted the way I did.
Okay, so I understand.
Excuse me, you have to say your name again.
I'm sorry, I'm Tara Walker, I'm 201 Main Street.
Okay.
I understand that the kids are an easy target, that it's easy to have a blanket cut and to go after schools. Again, I will say that the property values do suffer in school in communities that have less than high quality schools. I personally like the fact that my school, that Candia offers, I'm proud of Candia, what Candia offers. And I can understand, you know, people who are on a fixed income, I mean, their kids have already gone through school, right? They got theirs. They don't have to worry about their kids now. They don't necessarily care whether or not kids that are today, because they don't have kids in school anymore, so they don't care whether or not kids in school today are getting the high quality education that they need necessarily. And I can respect that, but I wholeheartedly disagree with it. And I feel like, you know, even though it is easy to say, oh, we're going to cut X amount of money from the school budget, that it's, there has to be a different way. There has to be a better way. And, you know, I'd like to ask a question specifically. When you say reducing $489,000 from default, don't we normally go with just default? The default school budget, is that correct?
If the warrant article fails, like it'll say the school proposes this budget, and if it fails, it goes to default. Default is last year's budget, contractual obligations minus one-time expenses. So it's basically what keeps the school going. And like last year, we did not, so this is another confusing thing. The school did not spend all the money that was budgeted. So that money stayed with the town, and it was $253,000, and that money went back to the taxpayers this year to offset taxes. So the school is very conscious. Our special ed director is great. Like we, you know, right now this is so hard. You're looking a year in advance. Well, we have to budget for what we have now. Kids can move in, kids can move out. Throughout the year, kids move in, move out. Those savings last year were all special ed. So
explain to me where the $489,000 fits in to the default.
Bill Rurick, superintendent. We have, in our budget, we reduced it by just over 12,000 last night. The default increase is $703,865. Of that total amount, six items make up 80% of the default. Our Pinkerton tuition, our health insurance, paraprofessionals, which are required to meet the needs of students with IEPs, our special ed tuition increased, special ed transportation increased, and information access fees. Those six items total 80% of that number. That's $563,318 just for those six. If we're reduced to the amount that's being presented, that's 100 plus thousand below just that number, the 80% number. So the board, if this number were to pass and the voters accepted it, we would be looking at some hard choices. In order to make up that $489,000.
One thing I'd like to say is we love our teachers, we support our teachers, they are the backbone. And a couple years ago, there was an issue with some internal turmoil on lack of feeling supported and finances, salaries. So we, school board became aware of it, we adjusted it. We took a hard look at how can we value our teachers, make them feel valued, support them in the classroom. And I think we've done a pretty good job at that. But one of the things that reducing the budget does is it will keep salaries stagnant, especially with the warrant article of a 3% cap. It will reduce class size. It will eliminate positions. It will lead to burnout, higher turnover, disrupting of learning, and driving talented educators away from our school. Like, part of the environment that we've created resulted in several awards and a happy staff. Like, if we put more pressure on them, more stress on them, we lose them.
Dana?
Dana Buckley, Kenya School Board. Steve, you mentioned comparing the school budget to the town budget, and I think that's kind of apples and oranges. You weren't on the budget committee last year, but, so I want to let you know. I went back 6 years, and I grabbed all the per-pupil spending for the state average elementary schools and for Candia, and I compared them. I went 6 years because that's the first time Steph and I, who are the longest two board members, were on the board. We're basically about $300, a little more than $300 above the state average. So we're not spending an exorbitant amount of money. We're just not, if you compare to what everybody else in the state is doing. And yes, we don't want people to leave town because we're taxing them out. But if they do, they're not going to another town in this state because this is New Hampshire and this is the way it's done. We're not at the upper end of the spectrum. I just want you to consider that. We're right around the state average for the last 6 years. There were 2 years we were under the state average, and 4 years we were above it. And I think it was like $380 on average over a six-year period where we were above it. So that's something you guys need to consider because we don't live in a vacuum.
Okay.
Bill Safi. So we're giving the voters a choice. Is all we do. And I don't see what's wrong with that. That's democracy. And your default budget is $11,817,000. And if we did the 3%, we would be at $11,446,000. It just gives the voters a choice. I mean, you got 1,600 homes in town, 120 people sold their homes and moved. Whether it was because of taxes or not, I do not know. But there's a lot of retirees, and the retiree class is going to grow more and more with all the 55 and olders being developed. And you just got to consider everyone. It's not just about the school. I mean, I have three grandchildren in the school.
Where in this budget is the fluffy? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I've been to the school. I didn't answer your question because I don't think it's that relevant. I've gone to all the parent teachers.
Oh my God!
What?
Come on.
Well,
it's not relevant.
It's extremely
relevant.
It's everything.
Well, excuse me. Let's be polite, okay? I'm sorry you don't agree with his statement, but please be polite.
My grandchildren have shown me where they go to class and what they do and stuff, and it's great. But you've got to balance it. It's not as simple as saying we're going to increase the budget by, 7.4%. And the taxpayers have to pay for it. So we're just going to give them a choice, is what my opinion. That's all we're asking for. We're saying it's in rock, and if the town wants to vote for it, they will. If they don't, they don't. So it's basically that simple.
Where do you feel that there's
we've gone
fluff
over this.
In it? Yeah, what I'm saying is we need to make an educated decision, not a decision on feelings. How do we educate our children to the level that we have today? What is over budgeted? What is not needed that you feel in this budget that we have proposed? So I thought about that. So you're not going to have 40 kids on the bus around town. You have a kid that gets picked up, that's one kid on the bus. So you might be riding behind the bus after the first stop. You might be riding behind the bus on the second stop. We've provided the numbers of the daily ridership. So looking at buses, if they are not full, we've given it several times, and it's on the answers to the questions. We answered it last year as well. So I thought about that. I'm like, wow, why are they seeing empty buses? And I thought to myself, oh, who knows where in the route you're seeing this empty bus? And it's not like we're lying. I mean, that's the ridership.
If
we're not fluffing numbers, we're not lying.
Parents a day dropping off kids at the school, those kids are not riding the bus.
Right.
Pretty basic, right?
60 of them out of 290.
201 Main Street. We've already established,
Please don't interrupt each other, okay? He's speaking, and then you get to speak, all right?
So, like,
everybody gets a turn.
My daughter's dropping off three kids out of one of those cars, and most of them, I know Sam has three kids in the school as well. So, I mean, it's not as simple as 50 cars is 50 kids. It could be easily be 100 kids.
Did you look at the answers to the daily ridership?
I haven't.
They don't add up. Math is off.
We've already established, at least we've had this discussion earlier, that school buses only make up about $10,000 out of that budget.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that was
$1 million.
High school parents contributed to the cost.
If high school parents contributed.
So high school buses are $200,000. If we charge, we have the answers to how many kids ride the bus, and I figured it would be about a $10,000 help to the $200,000 cost.
But cutting the buses, is that $489,000?
No. We can only cut high school bus.
So where else would you have it cut, Mr. Sappy?
Why can you only cut the high school bus?
Because we're required by law to bus students to school, and based on the daily ridership. You can't fit all the kids on one bus.
At the previous meeting, didn't you say we're not required to provide transportation?
To high school.
That's high school. That's just
K through
school.
8, we are legally obligated to provide busing. And because of the amount of students, we went over this beginning of the year, over the summer. Can we reduce buses? Can we reduce the routes? Can we? Unfortunately, we can't.
Glad to go first, I guess.
I mean, we would love to. To find the 100,000 in busing, like, trust us, we've looked. But we're not trusted, but we do. And we answer every question. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, Glenn, we're on buses.
Well, this is still the public hearing, okay? This isn't the budget committee's discussion.
Well, they're asking questions.
We can answer the questions, but I think the first priority is to give members of the public the chance
to
speak.
There are answers here.
We did get some answers about the buses.
3 and 5.
They're not correct.
Well, we can look at those later.
Okay, so given that we established that busing is not something that can be cut for all intents and purposes,
high school
can, but not elementary, not K through 8. Where else would you have the budget cut?
Vice principal.
What? The vice principal.
Yeah.
Why?
It's not required by state law because of the amount of students.
All right, Charlana, 355 High Street, Kenya. Can I just say that this was brought up again last year about cutting the vice principal? Our school is run the way it's run, and as you know, there's behaviors, and like you talk about classroom sizes, you talk about the special education program, you talk about all these other things. Not for nothing, our vice principal does just as much, if not more, work than half even the behavioral people and stuff like that at the school because of all the hats that they have to fill. Miss Wing fills in and does a lot of stuff and that she shouldn't have to do because of the lack of staffing and because of the different things that show up at the school. Cutting our vice principal, you're going to leave our school very shorthanded, very empty-handed. Sir, no offense to you or anybody on the staff, I agree with Carol. If you don't know the laws to how the school is run, if you don't even know those basic things, your voice should be more educated. You should know your laws to vote on a budget. You should know how everything is and know how your staffing is before you speak up and say we should cut all this. Because not for nothing, the laws state special education has to have this. Regular education has to have this. And to cut these random people just because you feel like they're not needed, that's doing an injustice to the whole school, to everybody. To the staff, to the students, everybody.
That's why I believe the cuts up to the school committee.
Okay. Well, is there any more public comment? We're looking at for public
the school
comment.
The committee that just admitted he doesn't know the law.
Okay. I'm looking
for his budget.
Well, he doesn't know the law either. He didn't know that K-8 was required by law.
Okay. Okay, this.
It's all right.
We're not going to get into this personally, okay? Yes.
Hi, my name's Jessie Palmer. I'm at 513 Chester Turnpike, and I am a teacher in a local community, and I just wanted to make a comment. I have three thriving children in your community and our community, and they're thriving because of the school and the teachers, and thank you for your words about the teachers. They are so important, and they're thriving because of the happy teachers. They are thriving because of the assistant principal and the other mental health staff. that support them, and I know that comes from the budget, and I just wanted to kind of put that comment out there that it is important, the budget for thriving children, and no questions, but I just wanted that to be known that, and even from a teacher standpoint, I've seen budget cuts and how it does impact a school, the rippling effects of cutting teachers has affected my life directly, and it affects the students as well.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Charlena again. Earlier, though, you said, just to make it clear, because maybe I'm misunderstanding, but you specifically said that the salaries were not included in this specific budget. Am I correct?
Well, let me make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
The budget obviously includes all the salaries that we're paying right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new teacher's contract.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a warrant article that covers the increases in the new teacher's contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just so you understand.
Separate.
But those
the
salary
separate, that's
increases
separate.
That are in the teacher's contract are in this budget. When the town voted 3 years ago, the increases, there's like a increase each year, say it's 100,000 each year. That 100,000 is in the default budget this year.
So the principal, vice principal, and all that is in the budget?
Is it, and their increases that are contractual are in here.
Okay, I just wanted
for the
to
next
make sure
default.
That I was
for the
yeah.
next
it was clear.
Round, there
in
is a new warrant article.
Well, then it sounds like they can't.
See, they're leaving out stuff.
Okay. Yes, yes, sir.
James Miller, 246 Brown Road. I have more of just a statement. Brief 2 minute statement. I'm a lifelong New Hampshire native. I went to a school here. Growing up, I received a great education in another New Hampshire town where I worked hard to go to school, get good grades. I worked my butt off. That allowed me to get into WPI. I got a mechanical engineering degree. I joined Army ROTC. I served 8 years in the New Hampshire Army National Guard, and I achieved the rank of captain. When I got back from a tour in the Middle East, I bought a house here in Candia after I got a mechanical engineering job. To me, that's achieving the American dream. Like, I had every opportunity as a child that I could possibly be given, and that allowed me to pursue my own American dream. And I just think that it's... the school is asking for their default budget. Like, it's not much. Like it's... I did the math earlier. It's maybe, like, $250 to $300 per household, something like that. That's what, like a dinner for five at Tuckaway Tavern with a glass of, with a bottle of wine or something. Like I just think that you know, America is supposed to have the brightest minds, have the best schools, have the best technology, and be the world leaders in innovation. Why are we slashing the budget from just the default? They're not asking for a raise, just the default. That's all I have to say.
Can I respond?
Well,
it wasn't a question.
That wasn't a question. Yes. Yes.
You don't understand how it works.
And then also...
Wait, you got to state your name again.
Oh, sorry. 72B, 246 Brown Road. Just adding on to this, but also an aside, I kept hearing, and this might be discussed after, this might not be for us public to know, but I kept hearing in terms of, like, when we're arguing, you didn't even know that we have to provide buses up through 8th grade, but arguing that the numbers are fluffed over in the corner, do we have proof of that? Do you have revised numbers that you, like, you have a revision? Because I think that's a pretty serious allegation to make against our school board.
Well, we have our...
I didn't say fluff.
Our superintendent sitting here, so if you could adjust, you know, Sue, if you could let him know what's fluffed and he can answer your question.
I didn't say fluffed.
Or they're incorrect.
Well, what she was saying
I can tell you it's incorrect.
The bus riders.
How can our numbers that we get from the bus company be incorrect?
This is what we received. I don't know if we got a copy of it. We had asked questions, and I don't even have a glass.
They're the ones that provided the answers.
And it said, how many students ride high school buses? How many ride the K-8 buses? Is there a way to remove one bus from our route? That's what it said.
Which number?
Here, number three.
Okay.
Here are the answers. Now listen to this and do the math in your head quickly. Last summer, we worked with First Student to determine we could whether we could consolidate our bus routes. Unfortunately, we were unable to do so. Now, here we go. Stephanie had previously told us that approximately 110 high school students use a bus.
When did I tell you that?
What was it? The last meeting we had, maybe the one before?
It was an email, and then I sent a correction and said, sorry, I read the wrong information.
Okay.
That was an email I sent, and I wanted for the record.
But
I corrected myself.
Two buses are used to transport students to Pinkerton Academy. One bus has an average daily ridership of 30 students, and the second has an average daily ridership of 38 students. So you add those two together, that's 68. From what I understand, the maximum on a bus is 70. Was that correct?
For high school, it's 56.
It is, okay.
So for high school,
just elementary,
56.
It's 70?
77.
Whatever, okay.
That's three of a seat.
Then it says five buses are used to transport students to the Henry Moore School. Each bus has a daily average ridership of 46 students. So one of the suggestions to remove one of those buses isn't outrageous, and what's happening is people keep talking about the default budget. I'm not sure why at this point. The budget that was approved is more than this year. It's more than this year. It's not everything they wanted, but it's higher than this year. And I don't think you people realize when everybody's saying they cut. True, but it's not everything you want. It's not the wish list.
We didn't get any of the wish list. Default is not wish.
If I may interject, because this is getting off track and it's getting a little, you know, we want to be civil to each other, right? I do want to point out that we have tried combining buses when we couldn't have the bus drivers because they weren't getting the pay that they needed. Mm-hmm. And it sucks and it doesn't work from kids that do it. You have kids that were coming home. I mean, my kids, like, you know, thankfully we were able to sort it out, but to say, why don't we consolidate the bus, to answer your question, it makes their routes a lot longer. So when you do that during the day, what happens is you have routes that will start, I mean, gosh, I had some of my neighbors saying their kids were out there at 6:30 a.m., even during daylight savings when it's like not an ideal time to be out, right? And then it goes until 5 p.m. because you're adding on to that route, which is causing stress on the kids on the bus. It causes more issues. It causes issues on the drivers. So that's to that point. The only reason I had brought it up, though, is because I just wanted to have it clear and on the record. And thank you for answering, because I just kind of took umbrage with the fact that you guys were in the corner saying that the school board was getting these numbers wrong or anything. And honestly, they've answered the question and said that really they weren't. And it is the numbers we were talking about. And I don't know. Like, that's the only thing. I just want it on record so that people can understand on record that it's not cool to kind of accuse the school board of that when they clearly didn't. And they answered the questions that they didn't. I just wanted it on record. That's all.
Okay.
I just like to add, legally, students cannot ride on a bus for longer than an hour. So if we had fewer buses, there's no way we'd be able to pick up all our kids, get them to school within that time frame. So we would be in violation of the state law. So we need those five buses. Believe me, we have looked at every which way to try to consolidate. As everyone knows here, Candy is a big land-wise. People are spread out. And those are the number of buses we need to get our kids to school in a reasonable amount of time.
Becky.
Just to add to that, Becky Wing, I did survey the parents K-8 this summer when we were trying to figure out, can we get by with four buses instead of five? And I only had 19 students, not families, but 19 students who would not need the bus at all, morning or afternoon, throughout the school year. So that didn't cut the number down enough that we would be able to reduce the buses from five to four.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any additional comments?
Jason Gustin, the default budget, as far as I understand that, is a calculated number based on costs that are expected to be incurred.
Wait, okay, not quite.
Go ahead, correct.
Okay, it's last year's budget,
yes.
which is, for us, it's this year's budget.
What we're in.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, now one of the problems with this whole process, the way the school goes, is we're looking at this year's budget, and we don't know how much of that we're going to spend this year. Okay, correct. So we don't know if we're going to have $500,000 left over or $50 left over. So the default budget is this year's budget that we're working on, plus the contractual obligations minus the one-time expenses. So we're not looking at a closed year that we know what the expenses were. So just bear that in mind with the default. We're all kind of just doing the, when you do the default, you do the best you can, because you can't, we don't know exactly what our expenses will be this year. We just know what our budget is. Okay.
Right, but the default budget, like you said, went up based on the contractual raises and other things like that that we have to spend money
yes,
on.
Yes,
right?
And that's added
so the
in.
The reduction of whatever it is below the default means we have to pull it from other areas that were not contracted or legally required to spend. Mm-hmm. Right, so it is a reduction.
It's a reduction
right?
in the requested budget, absolutely.
That's not a requested budget, it's the default budget, which is calculated based on formulas, some of it, right? And if not all of it, it's a formula.
Yeah, this year's budget plus the contractual
right,
obligation.
So therefore, any reduction from that is an actual reduction. It's not we just didn't give you what you asked for.
Yes.
It is a true reduction.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a reduction in what was approved for this year. Yeah.
It's a reduction in the expected spending for the next year, not this, well, the upcoming year.
Yeah.
The
year that starts in September. Yes.
So it is an actual reduction.
Yeah. On the budget packets, what we did was, so we have a default, and then we have requests that are like
114,000.
It was 114,000 were requests of like we would like some new desks, we would like some you know, new
removal of carpet,
the
furniture,
stuff like that. So we're not even talking about what we requested. That's like out of the.
Right.
So there's no
that's
like.
That's what you would have liked to have, which
right. Well, yes,
we got less than that.
Right.
Yep.
So we're not. The requests are like we're not even talking about that.
Right.
Now.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions? Additional?
I have a question.
Yes, Ryan.
Since the and correct me if I'm wrong, this is since the teachers increase their contracts as a warrant article, if on the proposed budget or the default budget, 0% increase was listed to all the salaries that are going to be covered within that warrant article. As long as the warrant article still passed, that would be taken care of. Am I thinking of that right or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's correct.
So theoretically, you could put a 0% increase to all those contract increases, and as long as, since the warrant article is separate from this budget, it would still pass so long as it's voted on, which I believe statistically they always are, and it would be covered, but you would be able to remove that from your default budget to bring that number down. Am I thinking of that correctly?
Sure.
It has to go in.
It gets added to the default.
It gets added to the default after the warrant article is approved.
That's correct.
So like this year, last year, regular education was $4,936,995. The default for this year, which includes the warrant article approval, is $5,428,000. So,
okay, so
even though it was voted on a warrant article, it's included in the $800,000 or 700 and some odd thousand increase in default.
That's correct.
Does that make sense?
Okay. I believe so. What if it wasn't? What if that line item was listed as zero and the warrant article still passed?
The teacher said if the warrant article passes.
I think legally it has to show.
If the warrant article for the teacher's salary passes, next year, year one of the salary increase is built into the default because that's a contractual obligation.
Yeah, yeah, but it can't be.
You can't
this
remove
year,
it from the budget.
They can't take it out of the budget because it's a contractual obligation.
But the way the warrant article would be worded is to raise and appropriate X amount of dollars, right?
That's correct.
Correct.
And so for year one, it would still be covered, and then year two, it would fall under the default budget since it's a contractual obligation, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yes.
So you could list it as zero, and you'd be covered for year one and year two?
No.
Or am I thinking that wrong?
You have to keep the...
We have to keep the line
what
zero.
We have now, so say the warrant article doesn't pass.
If
the warrant article doesn't pass, we have to spend this $5 million.
That's what we have. Right.
Thousand.
Teachers don't get a raise if it doesn't pass.
If they're, yeah. So if the warrant article doesn't pass, it goes to this number on the default.
That's correct.
Well, wait, you just said the number on the default represents...
The last contract.
It's in the warrant article.
The 3 years ago, the town voted on a 3-year contract, and each year has a dollar amount, and that's added. So this is for this school year. The new warrant article begins next school year.
We show zero. We show zero. I think the clearest way to understand it is it shows zero currently for next year because we don't have a contract. If the contract failed, if the voters failed to approve it, the warrant article, then that zero, it stays there.
Yeah.
So the teachers earn that salary.
Yeah, the $5,400,000.
If it passes, it gets... For year one, it would get added into the default.
Yeah. But we can't remove it from the budget.
We can't remove it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yep.
Sue, could you please keep
wait.
Comments?
Okay. Go ahead. Jason. Jason has the floor here.
Has the budget committee, I see it's ... are they voting to recommend or not recommend the collective bargaining agreement, number 3 on the warrant article?
We just saw it for the first time tonight. So we haven't, I haven't read it. I read it, but we haven't voted on this. We'll vote on this tonight, and then we have a supplemental meeting in January. But we just got it. Okay.
And can I ask a random question?
Sure.
It kind of...
Please state your name.
Budget. I'm sorry, Charlena, but maybe not particularly, just with the budget committee altogether, just to clarify something. Does the budget committee or the town or anybody have the legal right to put a cap on any particular part of the budgeting, any of the budgeting? Do they have the right to put an actual cap on it?
The voters can.
Just the voters if they voted in, but that's the only way? Like, the voters can vote in caps or minimums?
With the warrant article.
With a warrant article.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. On any part, so we could do it not just for the school budget, any budget, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
And it needs to be a 3/5 vote, right?
Yes.
And the warrant article.
Yep.
Okay.
60%. Jason Gelson, one last comment about the 3-year contract. The previous contract was recommended by the budget committee a vote of 9-0, which we're seeing the cost from coming now. So we're kind of saying, yes, we want to pay everybody more, and then 3 years later, we're changing our mind.
No, we haven't voted. We haven't voted on the teacher's contract.
2022, the previous contract.
Yeah, we voted it unanimously to support it.
And now 3 years later, here we are.
We haven't voted.
We haven't voted.
We haven't voted on
it. We're recommending to reduce below the default budget, which is contractually obligated, including the raises that we agreed to.
We just won't be able to touch that line.
Yeah, you can't.
Agreed, but we're trying to reduce it from all the spots. You can't take it back from the teachers, which we approve, but we're trying to find it elsewhere to pull back.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, this is the last time. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. Stephanie, two-person pronoun, sorry. So again, we want to cut $489,000, but we don't really know from where. Is that like what we've decided tonight, that like the budget committee has no clue where it would be? It would just happen. Am I getting that right? I just want to make sure after all of this that that's like the bottom line.
This is the bottom line budget?
Yeah.
Okay, so if the budget committee votes to approve $11,446,000, and then it becomes the school board and the SAU... responsibility to figure out how to make that work.
But again, so the 489,000 that was like discussed between before, did we figure out where you guys said that it would come from?
No.
So I just wanted that on record, that we haven't figured out where it would come from. That was all. Okay.
All right.
Sounds like a terrible idea. All right. On record, too.
Okay, so I'm going to, unless somebody has a new point, I will close the public hearing at this point. And that will give the Budget Committee the opportunity to discuss this and vote. I think the first thing I want to do is go over the questions that we had last time for the school. Does everybody have that?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is data communications? Is there a note stating Comcast Internet plus 3%? Is this for building Internet? Yes, this is the cost for Internet service. This year's bill is $462.12 per month for 12 months, totaling $5,545.44, which is a 3% increase. Okay, I think that was your question.
Plus a 3%. So it's
plus.
Plus a 3% increase.
So it's 5545
plus the 3% increase.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3% is from Comcast. Is that a contract or
is that
3% from Comcast, Stephanie?
Excuse me.
I could ask the people who. I could ask the superintendent and Becky. Do you know that the Comcast question, was it a Comcast said they're increasing their rates 3%.
Yes.
So that's from Comcast. Okay.
Okay.
And that is for the building.
Okay.
I don't know why it's in there.
That could be shopped around.
We use, we have between all the SAUs, we've contracted a special rate for the three towns. It's cheaper than if we had gone directly ourselves, which we have a lot electricity, I think, as well.
Okay, under telephone, is this the building telephone? What do we reimburse for cell phones, and how many do we reimburse for cell phones? Have we shopped around for cheaper phone service? The phone service cost covers providing phone service to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Our pricing is part of the group plan with Auburn, Candia, Hooksett, and the SAU office, which gives us a lower rate than if we purchased it independently. We do not distribute cell phones to our administrators. Instead, we reimburse them for using their personal cell phones to perform work-related duties.
I remember asking that question.
Yeah.
I believe I also, I don't know if it was lost in translation or if it was asked, but like, what is the rate that we're reimbursing for cell phones at?
I didn't hear the
what do we reimburse for cell phones? Do you know?
Is it, what's the dollar amount we reimburse?
$60.
$60 per line?
Per month. They submit their bills every month. Our administrators.
Okay.
And then we reimburse them.
Okay.
No teachers.
No teachers. Yeah,
thank you.
Just that.
And how does the district come to the $60 a month, the dollar figure?
We looked at what teachers, what the administrators have. We asked for their single plan or what a single plan would cost. And that's slightly below the average single, what our administrators are paying.
Okay.
If they had to do it by themselves.
Thank you.
Okay, the next question. Under tuition reimbursement, is the entire amount in the contract or is there a little bit extra built in? The amount is built in.
Does that mean there's no extra?
It's contractual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our other professional service, the SRO, and that's yes. What percent of the health insurance premiums do the employees pay? Please include all plans. Single, family, employee, and spouse, and employee and child. CESPA employees pay 5.5% of the health premium for a single plan, 18% for a two-family plan, and 18% for a family plan. Members of CEA pay 9% for a single plan, 13% for a two-family plan, and 14% for a family plan. How many? Oh, we already went over the bus. I don't think we need to read that again.
Please.
Have we contracted with an SRO? Chief Shevlin is currently working on developing an MOU, which will allow for a police officer to serve as the SRO. We hope to have this signed sometime next month. We're still working on that. Okay. Do we know the number of kids that utilize parent drop-off and pick-up? Approximately 61 students are dropped off and picked up each day from school. If the teacher's contract fails, do we operate under the current contract? Would we need to pay the health insurance increases? Yes, if the contract is not approved by the voters, we will operate under the current contract. We will need to pay the health insurance increases because health insurance is a benefit that's contained in the current contract. Okay, so those are the answers to all our questions. Now, I think what we need to do is vote, unless somebody has any additional questions or comments that they'd like to.
I just had some thoughts about.
Josh, this is Josh.
I'm sorry, Josh Reap from the Budget Committee. For instance, like cell phone reimbursements, 60 is, while reasonable. I know some companies out there will do that. If that's for the full month, why are we paying for someone to have a full month of cell phone benefit? And should we be just paying for part of it? Rather, like $30 a month is better than nothing a month. Everyone has a cell phone these days. If we're requiring them to have it for employment, that's one thing. Maybe we should just issue it from the school and get a deeper discount rate. Or should we be really paying the monthly premium for that person's cell phone? I think a partial reimbursement is more appropriate than a full reimbursement. So we're talking pennies out of a multi-million-dollar budget. But those kind of things collectively add up. Additionally, I thank you for the health insurance information and the premium. And I realize this is a collective bargaining issue, and I don't think we're going to resolve anything here today. But I just want to raise on for being on the record. The national average for employee contribution to health insurance is roughly 16%. In New Hampshire, it's about 12%. So even New Hampshire is a little bit more competitive. So when we talk about negotiating for benefits and the biggest cost increase this year, the 80% of that fixed cost, a big chunk of that 80% is health insurance costs. Mm-hmm. That's something we've all had to deal with. So I would just say that that's something to maybe just go back to the negotiation table in the future. I think this year is probably already done. Yeah, we're moving done. Forward. But that's something I would really challenge the district to look at for future negotiations for cost mitigation. Because overall, you have a year-over-year compounding action of 8%, 7%, 6% year-over-year. You've got double in 10 years. What I would like to avoid is I don't want to have to look at consolidation with other towns. I want my kid to go to school in Candia, enjoy Candia. I don't want the quality of the education to be diminished. But I also look at the reality of, at some point, we're going to face a situation like Claremont, like Concord, and like other districts have millions of dollars of deficit because costs just get runaway costs. And we're going to be at a point where we're just going to go, we can't afford this anymore, and we're going to have to consolidate. I want to avoid that. And it's tough. I know I get it. I appreciate some comments tonight. But you know, for me personally, it's just very frustrating because you move to a great town, enjoy the town, love the town. But when you have these compounding, sure, it's $200 this year, and then it's another $300 next year. And so that's $500 over 2 years. And then it's another $900. And that's $1,000. It's just very difficult to deal with. And on top of that, I'm not talking about someone who's a retiree. I'm talking about someone who has kids in a school district that wants to make sure they can go there, but also acknowledging that there's some tough things we have to do as taxpayers and as citizens of this town to make sure that we can maintain that quality. But there are some painful things that do need to happen at some point. I understand that. And I hope we can work with our professionals in the SAU and the school board and others in the community to find out what those things could be. So that's why I'm saying little things like school, like cell phone cost, health insurance cost, those things add up significantly over time, especially since those are the bigger things that compound year over year with these costs. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from on this.
And I'll say thank you. I completely appreciate that, like, really, because one of the things during the contract negotiations, our average teacher salary was $60,000. They have minimum of a four-year degree. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at, all right, we obviously can't increase their salary that much. We can slowly mm-hmm. adjust it. So how else can we make this job desirable?
Sure.
How do we value them? So I think the health insurance was a little way that we tried to not increase their salary, but provide a better package, a better feeling. And I hear you. We could probably look at that in the next contract review. Like,
thank you.
A couple of percents. I know, Becky, were you here? The teachers used to not pay much of anything.
That's correct.
And we increased it.
Two contracts ago.
So this is, I hear you. And a percent here and there can probably shave off. And charging a student $75 per semester for busing, give us 10 grand. Those are great things, and those are awesome ideas that we can work with as a community. But I just think the 489 is like, whoa. I can find you 10. I can find you 100 a month. I can find you. So it's like.
Well, I also look at some of the stuff in here as well, and I think back to many of my family members who are educators in K through 12. And I look at like some of these things about curriculum packages. I'm like, again, I'm not on school board, and that's the school board's job to handle that. So I appreciate the comments tonight, but we're an oversight for multiple entities here. So we may not have all the nuance and niggles and nuances of what the law is on every component, but we're doing our damn best.
Yeah.
But when I look at this and I say, well, this curriculum thing, well, someone can explain it to me probably better, be very granular about it, and I appreciate that. But that's for the school board to deal with. But I'm looking at it going, like, when you're spending $12,000 on this curriculum package that has an online component with curriculum that some other third party is producing for the teachers, I go, that's what my mother-in-law did for, she did lesson planning, prep work, all that other stuff, the old school way of doing it. You can still integrate technology and everything into that, but instead of paying $15,000 to a company to develop that curriculum for a teacher to use, I'd rather split the difference, pay the teacher half that money, and say, develop your curriculum, collaborate with your colleagues in the other districts to come up with this curriculum, rather than using a turnkey solution from some outside vendor. Now, I'm not looking to debate about that.
No, I want to let you know we had a curriculum coordinator in-house.
Sure.
It was the desire of a lot of people in town to not renew that contract. When she retired, they didn't want that replaced, so we didn't replace that position.
Okay.
So it makes it kind of... Yeah, we didn't replace that. We had English and reading. We had our English teacher retire. We combined that position into one. So that's two positions we've decreased. We had Minds in Motion, which was Judy Lindsay, which was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't replace that, but we did incorporate it into our curriculum so that the kiddos still had chances to do creative things and do the Deerfield Fair and stuff like that. So
mm-hmm.
we've really tried over the years to be like, okay, what can we do?
I appreciate that.
Can I ask a question? Is the contract isn't done until the voters approve it or don't approve it, correct? You can go back to the bargaining table.
We have a tentative agreement.
Right, but you can go back to the bargaining table?
Not now.
No.
You can't, so that has to go on as it is?
Yep.
Okay.
Nope.
So it's either yes or no.
That's that question.
And then if that fails...
Yeah, what happens if it fails?
When do we go back to the table? Next year or right away?
We start next summer.
Okay.
Well, we could start sooner, but
we
start the process again.
You could have a special meeting, correct? To address that?
I know the town can.
I think the town can call. I think we can be called. I think you're correct.
Okay. I just had a couple of comments, but I don't know if this is the appropriate time. I'm really offended by the comments about kids are an easy target. You don't know what you're talking about. I wish you'd be in the school more like that. I'm a teacher. I'm not in more school for obvious reasons, but I am in other schools. Not daily, but quite a bit. So I know what people can and can't do with certain supplies. I've had young families and their relatives want to give them their house because they're elderly. They want to give them their house. They can't pay the taxes. So these young families cannot move into Candia or stay in Candia because they cannot pay the taxes, which, you know, again, maybe they need to get better paying jobs. I don't know. I was on the school board when my son went to school. We did cut the budget then, and they said they were going to cut art and sports and everything that everybody really wants.
Mm-hmm.
They threatened to do that. They decided not to. He ended up going to WPI, an engineer. Another one of his friends is a biomedical scientist. They did perfectly fine. It wasn't everything they wanted, but we paid the teachers well, which, again, I totally support because I think good teachers can make do with what they have. And I want to stress this budget, instead of worrying about or focusing on what's being taken away, look at the increase of it. Look at the increase of what's being asked for and above this year. And let me see. Every year, we've had over 100 sometimes 200, sometimes $300,000 that the school has not spent. Do you all realize that? Have you tracked that? All of you that think that they're not getting enough money? Has anybody out there tracked that?
Are we allowed?
No. So you can just raise your hand if you've tracked it. Okay. So every year that happens. So they've had, it appears like they've had enough money to get by because the school's doing very well, as you said. I think most of the kids are doing well. I'm going to warn you, the voters have always supported the lower amount presented. And you know that if you've looked at any of the figures or the voting results. We've had people come to the deliberative session pushing it back up, whatever was cut, pushing it back up, and the voters turn out en masse and they push it back down. It's probably best not to really upset a lot of people by saying that if they're elderly, their kids aren't in school, they don't care what they're having for what your kids are having for an education. It really probably politically is best not to go that route, because some of us have had kids in school, at least two of us, and our children are doing very well when we cut the budget. So it can be done together. I think that's the case with parents in the household, but that's another subject. And I think that's just about it. So I really wish somebody would focus on the positive part, that it is more than they're working with this year. Not everything that's wanted, but it's more. And the school board of the experts supposedly will make the final cuts where they want to make them. And I don't think it'll be teachers' positions. It's very unlikely, but that's their job.
I would just like it for the record that last year's savings that we returned to the town was special ed. Year before that, I believe, was also special ed. If we don't have to spend it, we return it. It's the responsible thing to do for the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. We can't control special education.
No, but we have a special education account. If somebody moves into town, we have a trust account. You can use that immediately.
This has nothing to do with it. I said our savings that we returned this year, if you look at the budget and where we...
They're not all special ed.
It
That's
is.
Not where you got it all.
It is. Did you look at the budget last year to see what
yes.
was spent? I did. Yeah. And it was special education.
Okay. Now, we can vote on... If somebody would like to make a motion...
I have one more question for me.
Go ahead.
Just for a moment. Sue, from the selectman perspective, because again, there's many facets in the town. I don't know everything. When money goes back to the town, it's up to the selectman how to handle that, right? I don't know what's in that account. That's the selectman's position to take care of. But could the selectman develop a policy or is there a working rule where, like, if we know every year we need to have so much budget for special ed need in the school, if we got cash in the bank, just don't touch that amount. So if it does come up, the school can request it.
I don't know. Maybe the superintendent.
Because what happens is when we put this budget out to the voters, we have to come up with a tax rate for the year, right? And that affects taxes.
And we use the unreserved balance, and that's all the money that the town has.
Yeah.
And we have to keep it at a certain level in case there's an emergency. And we did that. But this year, we took money and we gave it back to the taxpayers. I think it was 50 cents on the thousand. It would affect them. But I don't know about mixing...
Because I'm just thinking, like, in our household funds, like, if you budget for a household, you know that you have to have an emergency fund for... You don't know what
septic
it's good for.
Or something.
Your septic,
yes.
Hot water tank,
well,
your kid goes to the hospital, which, God forbid, that doesn't happen again to me. That kind of stuff happens. So you have that cash set aside. You don't have it budgeted for, but you know... You have a certain amount, you have a cushion,
a reserve, so to speak.
Yeah.
The town's allowed to have a reserve.
Could the town have a reserve fund to say, like, you know, we know that special ed is going to be $300,000, worst case scenario. Could the town have it where we have that much in reserve to know if the school's budget is zero for the purposes of going to the voters, but if they have a need in the town... Could they say, is that money there for this year?
That's what that...
I think that would be a more prudent thing to do than looking at a sticker shock.
That's what that fund is
year.
For.
There is a fund. Now, special ed's $3.8 million. If we have a child that moves in and we mm-hmm. overspend $3.8 million, we have a $200,000...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a fund.
But the problem is there's also a warrant article going to limit all warrant articles for the school to not increase for 3%. So if we spend that $200,000, we won't be able to raise and appropriate it again. So it,
unless someone puts another warrant article to do that.
But it can't exceed 3% if the warrant article...
Unless another warrant article comes out to amend that.
Right.
Okay, so it could be rectified later.
It could be.
But it's something done through the school, not the... The school and the town are the same, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, well, that pot, that's where the we money get the taxes.
The money, yeah, yeah, and the part of the struggle, too, is, you know, the fiscal operating years are different, mm-hmm. and that's part yeah. of the issue with not knowing what's
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah, and I think if we go negative in our school budget, it's illegal. Right. So we'd have to go to the taxpayers to raise and appropriate.
Then we'd have to go to the town.
You'd have to have yeah. a special meeting.
Yeah.
yeah. You have to go to the town. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so, like, the selectmen have a... their
not
account.
Yeah,
we're not allowed to. We return ours
mm-hmm.
to win. Keep it part of their.
They overspent the budget.
But
the school?
No, the town.
Really?
Yeah. And they had to get permission. Yeah, Bill?
So, like I said last time, every year we say it's unsustainable to increase the budget by 7 or 8%. And when we left the meeting at the school last. There's 12 backpacks sitting out front for kids that are in need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want those 12 kids to move out of town?
They don't need to move out of town.
Well, they're raise their
Do
taxes.
You know who helps supply those?
To the women's club.
Mm-hmm.
I know my wife was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I helped fill the backpacks.
So do I.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I'm just like...
That's what our community is for. That's what our school is for.
But we have to support the elderly, the seniors...
And our children.
And the young families that can't.
There's a lot
we
of
have
families.
To support everyone.
Yeah. It's not
it's
just
our elderly,
about
big job.
Our young families, our students.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to not just vote on what we personally want.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we have some choices here.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody could propose a different number, we have...
Or the same.
What's we could vote on the numbers that we already have.
What do we have for 3%. No, I know, but I don't know.
What you want the
number?
Okay, the number that we voted on last time is, you ready? 11,446,868.
That's right here.
Yeah. It's on the warrant?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And 95 cents. So I guess I'd like somebody to make a motion for either for a number that, like I said, it could be that number, it could be the default budget, it could be something in the middle, it could be the requested budget. Just
I'll make the motion for the 3% increase.
Would you give me a number?
11,446,868.
So okay. Is there a second to
I'll
that
second
motion?
That
and
discussion.
Sue seconds it. Okay. I think we've discussed it. Ready to vote? Okay. Okay, Stephanie.
No.
Josh.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Lynn. No. Sue.
Yes.
Katrina.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and Bill is yes.
And Ryan.
Oh, Ryan.
Ryan's yes.
And Ryan is yes.
Yes.
Okay. So those are the same votes as last time. So that's, and Susan's not here. So that's two no's and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses. So we're going to go to the deliberative session with the same budget, unless we change it at a supplemental. Right? Now, before we leave, we still have to look at the warrant article.
Yeah. We have a supplemental hearing on January 21st as well.
That's correct.
May I ask why the school board didn't recommend on the second page, the last line?
You're looking at the warrant that they gave us tonight?
Looking at the warrant.
Okay.
They don't recommend, I'm not sure I understand that.
They're not recommending our dollar amount.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what I would. Oh, okay. It was after all of this writing, so I thought they didn't recommend their own budget. Okay.
No, they didn't recommend.
I see what they did. Yeah.
They didn't like what we recommend.
Our recommend.
Okay.
Okay, so on the warrant articles, I guess I can assume that the vote the recommendation on number two will be the same as the vote that we just had. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So there would be recommended by the budget committee. 6-2. Okay, then the number three is the teacher's contract. Any questions or about the teacher's contract?
Are you comfortable with that? I'm asking the principal. Becky. Are you comfortable with that? Do you think that's fair?
Yeah,
okay.
I do. I was part of the negotiation.
I don't know the details, but
thank you.
So I need to know.
Okay, is there a motion for our recommendation on the...
I'll make a motion to approve as so listed.
Makes a motion to recommend Article 3. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Josh Reed.
Josh seconds it. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I don't know if he's...
No. Ryan, are you in favor? Yep. Opposed? Bill? Okay, so that's 7 in favor and 1 opposed. So Steph, Josh, Steve, Lynn, Sue, Katrina, and Ryan are in favor, and Bill's opposed. Okay, so that's recommended by the budget committee. Seven to one. Okay. So that takes care of the warrant articles. Okay. Anything else we need to talk about tonight?
I'll motion to adjourn.
No. No, we do not adjourn. We
pull that motion back.
Don't thank you for coming in, people.
Thank you for coming. Attack my statement.
We continue this to our supplemental meeting on January 31st.
So
you can make a motion to suspend.
Let someone else do it.
We're back tomorrow night.
For the town.
Yeah, for town.
That's the town. That's
but this meeting will be suspended.
So So you want to make a motion to suspend it, and we'll reconvene on January 21st.
So Steve Tremblay, I have a motion to suspend this meeting until January 21st, 2026.
Yes.
I'll second.
And Stephanie seconds it. All in favor? Okay.